GoodSuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for bringing everyone here today. As we want to learn from you, let everyone be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the topic is the law of desire. What does a desire mean? Why should we have desires? Is it a bad thing to desire something? Is it a good thing to desire something? That's exactly what we've been looking at today, the law of desire. How powerful are desires? How do they control our lives? What do they do for us? Do they transform our lives? Are we just normal? Once we become born again, do we lose all our desires and then we are perfect like God immediately? What are desires? What do they do for us? These are the things we'll be looking at today. And by the end of the episode, by God's grace, we'll be able to know, as we had when we look at our time, we will be able to look at the danger of crossing the line from having good desires to going to the bad desires. And even seemingly good desires can be very harmful when they begin to control us. So let's dive in. I hope we still remember everything we learned last week. Last week we learned about Nehemiah, how this guy just had desires. Remember, I mentioned last week that most of the things we do, we also still be relating them to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just a normal guy like you and I, normal Christian, who was living the normal Jewish life. He just had a desire that, oh no, my city, the city of God, cannot just be left in ruins. That was just all he had. It wasn't written that God spoke to him or he saw an angel or anything like that. This man just had a simple desire and he turned that to a big deal. And God honored his desire. So that's what we'll be looking at today, the law of desire. It's a major law in the school of success. If we want to have success, if we want to achieve everything that God has planned for our lives, we want to fulfill vision and purpose in life, desire is a major thing. We are going to read two main scriptures today before we continue. Proverbs 18:1 says, "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks and intermeddles with all wisdom." Through a desire. That means without a desire, that man cannot even separate himself. He cannot be looking for wisdom and seeking the word of God and trying to make things different. So that is where it all makes sense. When you desire, then you will take a step. Then the second scripture is 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Which means, as a normal person in this world, I have desires. I can desire anything I want. I'm a creature of free will. I have free will. God gave me free will. I can desire anything. However, at the end of the day, I wouldn't let anything control me. So let's go to the introduction. We need to understand that at the end of this episode or end of the series, if we can finish it today, it's going to turn to a series. But this is our focus. We want to understand whether having desires, having wishes, having things we want to have, want to know whether it's a wrong thing to do that. And then, why do some people seem to be controlled by whatever they feel like doing? And then, at the end of the day, we want to know how not to cross the line between good desires and the ones that God don't approve of, even when they look good. What is a desire? As far as I'm concerned, desire is closely related to feelings, what you are just attracted to, what you feel like getting or attaining, that is your desire. And most times, they always feel good, that's just the truth. Even if it's bad for some other people, it feels good to you. For example, somebody who wants to avenge himself, who is angry, who wants to repay whoever has hurt him with evil, it feels good to him. However, because it feels good doesn't make it good. So one thing we know about desires is that they always feel good to us. If it doesn't feel good, we really don't desire. I don't know of anyone who feels like drinking something bitter. Like, it's so bitter and then you feel like drinking. Maybe with the exception of coffee, I don't know what they drink in that thing. I've tried it a couple of times, but it's so bitter. But I know that desire is something that gives you some kind of pleasure. It just feels good at the thought of it alone. And how powerful is a desire? Now, I want us to understand today that desire is so powerful that it controls every area of our lives, even when we are spiritual. Our desires are super powerful. For example, desire precedes prayer. If you really want to pray, like for you to be able to pray effectively as a child of God, you must desire to pray. I'm talking about effective prayer, the one you pray and you know God is there. You will decide. Even if you don't decide when you go into it, for you to pray long and have results, you will decide along the way. Desire is super powerful. In Mark 11:24, what does the Bible say? It says that, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, which means if you don't desire it, don't even bother, because you're going to get tired along the way. You must desire it first. Then, because you desire it, that's when you can believe. That's when you can press on in prayer. Elijah was a man of passion like you and I. He desired that there will be rain. And what did he do? He went to a cave. He began to pray and say, God, this must happen. This must happen. He began to pray effectively. And then he got answers because he prayed. Not only because he prayed, because he desired the rain to fall. If he didn't desire the rain when it first went out, I think it went like 7 times, right? Imagine going the first time, second time, and then you have only prayed for something about 2 times and you are tired. Where's the desire? Where's the passion? The Bible talks about the passion of Christ. That's the passion of Jesus that took him to the cross. He was passionate about saving mankind. That's why he stood there. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, people have activated the angels and destroyed everybody there. I said, you know what? I'm tired of these people who are even ingrates. No, the desire, the passion kept him going. He kept moving, he kept going on and on and on because there was a desire. If you're going to pray effectively, we need desire. You need to probably sit down, read the Bible, stir up some desires that are backed up by the Word of God. It will make you stay longer in the place of prayer. For example, there are 2 things that can make you stay longer in prayer. Number one, the blessings that you know you can attract from prayer. It can make you stay long. And then the consequence of not praying. Jesus told his disciples, said, can you not watch with me 1 hour? And guess what happened? Peter denied Jesus 3 solid times. He had the first opportunity to stop it. He didn't. Second, he didn't. Third, he didn't. The Bible also says we should be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, goes about seeking whom he wants to devour. So if you are not propelled or stirred up or encouraged to pray because of the blessings that can come, you better be aware of the consequences. So desire will make you stay in prayer. It will make you pray longer. It will make you keep praying. When you remember the consequences and you desire some benefits that can come when you pray, then you are stirred up to pray. Then that is how powerful a desire is. Secondly, desire precedes sin. That's how powerful desire is. You can see it's both in the good part and in the negative part. Desire precedes sin. The Bible says in James, we're just going to read that, in James chapter 1, 14 to 15. It says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That means our desires actually lead us to temptation. And because temptation is so strong, empowered by desires, it leads to sin. So if you want to avoid sin, what do you do? Avoid desires, because desire will lead you to be tempted. And then when you are tempted, it's an exam. You really can't guarantee that you're going to pass. But you can guarantee there's a way you can avoid being tempted. It's if you avoid from the desire realm. If when the desire comes and you are like, no, this is not in line with the word of God, no, I cast you out, I stop you right away, then you have power over the temptation before it even came. Then you have power over sin because it did not even come at all. So if you want to avoid sin, remember that desires are super powerful and control your desires. Desires precede sin. If I as a believer and you as a believer want to live in victory continuously, you must understand that every victory starts from desire. Number one, the desire to walk in righteousness. also comes. If you're going to walk in righteousness, you must desire it. That's the difference between the unbeliever and the believer. The unbeliever just doesn't care about walking in righteousness because that's not his nature. But as a child of God, now you need to begin to build up your desires for righteousness. And how will it come? When you read the Word of God consistently, you are building desires. You have been empowered to walk in righteousness, but you will not walk in it except you desire the righteousness. And the desire will come by the Word of God. So, number three, desire empowers vision. You've seen everyone talking about vision. I want to achieve this vision. I want to achieve that one. See, if you don't have a desire for that end, vision is just about you seeing the end before it comes. And of course, the Bible helps you to see the desire. So if you want to achieve that desire, it has now become your vision now, empowered, written down, right? If you want to achieve it, that desire needs to be strong. And in fact, guess what? Vision without ambition has no life. I know, yes, there's a thin line between ambition and vision. However, for every vision to come to actualization, there must be an ambition. That vision must become your ambition. And ambition is just like empowered desire. Passion, passionate desire. So if you want to achieve that vision, it must come with a powerful desire. There must be an emotion attached to it. Without that emotion, vision is difficult to achieve. So desire empowers vision. And how powerful is the desire? Desire precedes victory. If you're going to have victory, if you're going to have success, there must be a desire. Many of us, maybe when you were in secondary school or primary school, remember, maybe you wanted to be at the top of the class. What drives you? The desire to be at the top of the class. Then it drives you to read, to study, to begin to go extra mile, to burn the midnight candle, because there's a desire. If there's no desire, you're just going to relax. I cannot come and go and kill myself, remember? And then, because you don't want to bother yourself, you're just going to relax. Whatever comes, it's okay. That's why most people will never get to the first class or the second class upper, whatever. It's just like, I just want to go through the school. That's why maybe many rich people's kids, they're just like, see, I have a job waiting for me. I don't care whether I have first class or second class. I have a job that is guaranteed. So I don't care. So there's no desire to have that super success. That's how powerful desire is. So what is this for us? If you want to achieve anything in life, you want to check your desire level. If you don't have enough desire, maybe you want to look, for example, you want to study a course in the university, or you want to achieve something. Maybe you want to have a good marriage or good success. Anyway, now, what do you do? You need to sit down, write all the benefits. Once you can see the benefits, your desire will be stronger. Then it will turn to passion. And then that passion can become a vision. And that vision is empowered because you have some emotional benefits attached to it. That is how powerful a desire is. So now, what area of life are we not touched? It precedes prayer. You want to become righteous? How can you remain righteous if you don't pray? Desire precedes our study of the Word of God. If you don't know the benefits of studying the Word of God, you won't even read. So that desire is super important. So desire precedes prayers. It precedes sin. If you don't want to sin, watch what you desire. The Bible says lust. It brings forth. Desire, begin to desire something. So, for example, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they began to desire the fruit. The Bible said about Eve, it said, when she saw that the fruit was something that is desirous to be eaten, she went a step ahead to pluck the fruit and eat it. She's always seen it. She's always desired it, but she didn't do anything. She just needed the, you know, feeling of the words of the devil, and she took the step. So if I want to walk righteously, if I want to do what is right at the right time, I need to watch what I desire every day. So is it wrong to have a desire? Of course not. How do we know that? Desires can be wrong because God said we should have desires. And even God himself has desires. For example, if you look at Matthew 9:13, Jesus was quoting another scripture in the Old Testament, and he said, I desire mercy. I desire mercy. That means, instead of you being judgmental, if you read that scripture, that's Matthew 9:13, Jesus was just warning us that we should be aware of being judgmental of other people. He said, he desires mercy. He wants us to have mercy on other people. So, desire mercy, God wants our desire. God says he desires that we have mercy on people. And then he himself desires mercy. Say, I desire mercy. I want it. That's what I want you to have, not judgment. So, if you and I are thinking, are my desires wrong? Is it wrong to have desires? Then you know that God has desires. And God is the super righteous God. So, having desires cannot be wrong. Then, God even tells us in 1 John, he says, I wish above all things that you may be in health. He's talking about his wishes, what he desires for you and I. And then God instructs us to have desires. He says, as newborn babies, we should desire the pure milk of the word of God. So he wants us to have those desires. If you're going to be strong as a child of God, you need to desire the word of God. He says, desire the sincere milk, the pure milk of the word of God. He says, as a believer, you need to desire the word. Because if you don't desire the little bit of the word of God, you can't even grow. So, as we are believers, and remember, we remain children of God. You can be a son, but you will always remain children. So, we must always desire the sincerity of the word. And then, why do we know that it's no wrong to have desires? Because God also says we should pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. If you don't desire them, you can't have them. You may just stop at being able to speak in tongues. But there are so many other gifts. Interpretation of tongues, and all other gifts, teaching, ministry, and all those. He says, desire them. So God is saying, see, this thing I put in you, you can use it for good. Desire the spiritual gifts. So we know that having desires can't be totally wrong. Now, what is a good desire? At least from what we've seen so far, it's possible for us to have good desires, and we can have wrong desires. So not every desire is good, and not everyone is from God. In 1 John 2:16, the Bible says that for all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, he said, is not of the Father. So we know that there are some kinds of desires that God hates, that God doesn't want. In fact, God knew that we were going to desire things. That's why he told Adam and Eve, he said, see, those fruits there, don't desire them. Don't take them. Don't eat them. So, if God has instructed you not to do anything, for example, a very good case is the case of adultery or fornication, for example. Now, how does it start? It starts from desire. You are beside an opposite sex, and let's not even go to the other side. You are beside an opposite sex, or you are looking at someone that their desire can come naturally. Because we are alive, desires will always come. But when you begin to act on it, that is when there could be issues. When you begin to feed it. For example, when we were growing up in the faith, when I was very small then, I remember in church then, they would tell us, hey, you can see, but don't watch. You can see someone, for example, somebody dresses inappropriately. If you see that person, it's still okay. Desire may come, but don't act on it. Don't feed it. Don't turn it to a lust. Take your eyes off. You've seen? Take your eyes off. Don't watch. Don't look. Just take your eyes off and look at something else. Trust me, it has saved me a lot. The same thing with any other thing that you may desire. Maybe God has instructed you to fast. Now, it's not the time to begin to watch movies about food. That's bringing temptation your own way. So, don't look at things that will make you do the wrong things. So, our desire is good. However, not every desire is from God. You must know which desire is from God at every point in time. For example, two disciples of Jesus, their parents brought them. Their desire is good, but they want to lord it over other disciples. And Jesus said, no, that's how it works in the kingdom. So you want to also check. Now, that desire, there's nothing wrong about it. You want to be elevated. But you say, no, this is not how the kingdom of God works. In your place of work, you want to be elevated. But in the kingdom of God, it plays in a different way. You serve first. Then our regenerated spirit has desires. Matthew 26:41. The Bible says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing. The spirit has desires. It says, but the flesh is weak. The spirit has desires, but the flesh is weak. So it's saying, feed the desires of the spirit. So, We must understand that desires are good. Our regenerated spirit has desires. That's why when you want to watch TV, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you to go and pray. When you want to do some other things, it has its own desires. He also wants to be fed. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about our own regenerated spirit. He also has desires. Now, that spirit prompts us to pray. It prompts us to do righteousness, to do the right thing. You see, the moment you become born again, you are just drawn and drawn towards the right thing. And that should be the normal thing. The moment you are not drawn towards the right thing and to do the good things, you need to begin to watch, am I still born again or not? Because your spirit must begin to desire the things of God. So, how do we not cross the line? We have seen that desires are good. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me. That means I can do everything. I have the power to do everything. In fact, Paul confirmed it. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means I have the power. Because you are born again doesn't mean you don't have the power to sin. See, you can do anything. You are not controlled by it. That's just the difference. You can do anything, but you are not controlled by it. And that's why we have to be careful. That's why, as a believer, let me say this thing. I know there could be children listening to us, so I'll find a way to say it. When we were in school, I heard about people that were praying in tongues. A brother and a sister were praying in tongues. And at the end of the day, they were still doing the unlawful thing. I'm just going to say it that way. They were still doing the wrong thing. In the bush, I went to OAU, and this is where we call the fourth center. There was a lot of praying in that place. That place knew that people prayed. However, some people also went there. They were praying in tongues and then they were sleeping with each other at the same time. Which means you can be born again and still do anything. You have the power to do it. The only difference now is that you have the power to control sin because your flesh is still there. The only thing is it doesn't control you. It's a dead person, but you can waken it up. You can make it awake by feeding the desires and giving your lust power. And then that lust now turns to sin, and sin, if not controlled, brings death. God forbid. So there's a thin line between righteousness and unrighteousness if we allow the enemy to do anything. So we must understand that. How do we not cross the line? We must not allow the flesh to get control over our lives. He says, I will not be brought under the power of any. I can do anything. In fact, I can wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to church dressing half naked. You know? I can do it. But it says, don't be controlled by this liberty. Don't be controlled by anything. But let the power of God be the one in charge of your life. So, ambition without divine vision is dangerous. Remember I said, vision without ambition can be dead. It won't be fueled. It won't be powered up. However, if you have ambition without divine vision, it's dangerous because you just begin to walk towards the place of the flesh. You begin to walk towards the wrong place, which shouldn't be. So, ambition without vision is dangerous. We must be very careful about it. We can be captivated and enslaved by our desires. Desire can indeed become an idol. How do we know that? Matthew 6:21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So, which means if we keep feeding a wrong desire, our heart will be there and every other right thing will be there. So, as believers, we need to be very careful. We can be captivated and slayed by our desires. You know what? Love is a controlling power. Love for money can be a controlling power. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have strayed from the faith because they allow this thing to take control of their lives. We must be careful what we love, because that's still desire. Love is just empowered desire. Love is just passionate desire. So we must be careful what we love. We can love money. Desiring to have success and to live a decent life, there is nothing wrong about it. In fact, to be super prosperous and to desire that, there's nothing wrong about it. But when the love for money comes in, it's dangerous, like the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which means that money has now turned to an empowered passion that is controlling you and I. We must be careful about that. We can watch it. We can follow God, and God will prosper us. In fact, God did not say we should chase after money. He says we should chase after Him, and all the other things will follow us. So we must be very careful. How do we make desire work for our good? Nehemiah just had a desire. He just had a desire to do the things of God. But do you know why it prospered? Because it was in line with the will of God. It was in line with divine purpose. It was just what we call kingdom advancement. He didn't hear God, but he was following what he knew to be right. That this is the city of God. It was the passion for God that made him do anything he wanted to do. So Nehemiah just had a desire. David had a passion. Passion that, why would somebody call Goliath, this unbeliever, why would he be harassing the people of God? It was that passion that made him lay his life down. Why would a small boy of maybe 17 years old, why would he want to fight a soldier, built man, strong? Not only built, he was strong and bold. Imagine what he was carrying as a weapon. However, David did not see all that because the passion for God, the desire for the things of God, took him over and God backed him up. We didn't see there that God said, David, now go and fight Goliath. There was a time David heard God, but in this case, the Bible did not say he heard God. No, he just had a passion. And how did we know he had a passion? He was asking everybody, what's this? What's happened? Why is this man harassing everybody? Then what's going to be the reward? That was the passion. Passion to honor God. How did we know he wasn't making a name for himself? All the things he said when he was fighting Goliath. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he said, today I will bring you down. Everything was for the glory of God. He had a passion to honor God. He had a desire to glorify God. So the question for you and I today is this. What do I desire when I wake up in the morning? What do I desire when I go to sleep? Am I having a passion that drives the kingdom of God, or a passion that just wants to make a name for myself? Are my passions filled with selfish desires, or are they filled with desires to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and to other people in the world? Let's watch our desires and know that yes, desire can be a tool for good. However, it could be also a tool that brings people down. That was just what happened to Samson and Esau. They had desires, but they didn't control them. Esau had a desire to eat. Is it wrong to eat? No. He just wanted to eat. However, he allowed that desire to be cloud his judgment, and he lost his place and destiny. The same thing with Samson. He just wanted to get married. Is it wrong to get married? Of course not. However, because he didn't allow this to flow through the will of God, he lost his place also. He met his untimely death. God worked it for good, of course, and God can work anything for good. That's why we must be careful with that scripture. The Bible says, God makes all things work together for our good. But God can make good things work together for our good. It doesn't have to be the wrong things. But we decide what God makes work together for our good by listening to Him at all times and by making sure our desires are filtered by the pages and the truth of scripture. Praise God. So we've just come to the end of the episode today. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone listening to me today, and even for myself, Lord, the Lord, for every wrong desire that has been turning to lust and has been turning to temptations. Father, we ask that you forgive us for permitting those things in our lives, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask today that for everyone listening or watching, and for myself, the Lord, empower our spirit man to be able to stand against the wrong things, to be able to stand for righteousness in the name of Jesus. To be able to stand for righteousness. You said concerning Cain that, hey, you should be able to control your desires. But Cain did not control his desires. He ended up killing his brother. Father, empower us to control our desires in the name of Jesus. Father, we live in a world that's where everything goes. But Lord, I pray that you empower us to begin to desire the right things and to control our emotions, even to the will of God, to control and tame it, to only walk towards the vision that you have put ahead of us, to walk towards righteousness alone. Thank you, awesome God, the exalted mighty Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. So we've come to the end of the episode today. See you next time. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and share with other people. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week and be blessed. Bye, everyone.
A good success has come.